Okay, very quickly, the version 3 of the GNU General Public License. The goals in redrafting the GNU General Public License are these three goals. The first one is to do no harm. The GNU General Public License currently maintains and ensures freedom for somewhere in the region of hundreds of millions of home users and business users. So this is something that we have to make sure that we don't spoil, we don't let in any loopholes. The reason it's being updated is because we want to do the exact same thing, but do it a little better, take into account changes in the legal environment and the technical environment that have occurred in the last 15 years since version 2 was produced. So there were specific situations that we've noticed where freedom could be compromised, despite the GPL. So these are going to be addressed as best as possible. Here are three topics I won't cover, because these take a bit of time and they're not all as interesting to some of us. Things like internationalization doesn't really matter to us because we're English speaking and our courts are. There's a lot of clarifications in the license, so they're not really controversial. And then there's a license compatibility section, which is a bit complicated and people haven't seemed to be too interested in it. So the things I will cover. The four freedoms already mentioned by Federico, these are the things that that the GPL has to ensure. The two most controversial or most interesting parts are how we ensure these four freedoms with the existence of digital restrictions management and with the possible existence of software patents. So the DRM has gotten a lot of attention. There has been a bit of confusion. Some people think that GPL v3 prohibits DRM. Some people think that it prohibits encryption, and these aren't actually the case. With the GPL v3, they wanted to preserve freedom 1, the freedom to modify the binary, without limiting freedom 0, the freedom to use the software for whatever purpose you want. So if they've said that you can't program DRM features into the software, then that would be a violation of using the software for any purpose. So what GPL v3 says is that when you distribute the software, you must also distribute with it everything necessary for a person to make and use modified versions. So in version 2 of the GPL, it explicitly said that you had to distribute the source code and you had to distribute the build scripts. And it could be implicit that you have to distribute any keys necessary to sign these binaries. But GPL v3 makes that explicit. There will not be a case where people are forced to hand over their private keys. This isn't how copyright law works, and it's not how the GPL v3 works. You can still use DRM on your own computer. You might want to compile your kernel so that it will only run signed binaries, and then you can prevent viruses from modifying your binaries, or you can prevent viruses from injecting new binaries into your computer because they won't be run because they're not signed. So this is a good personal use of DRM. And you can even have DRM developed by a third party and installed on your computer. But the GPL v3 requires that when they give you the software that has the DRM features, they also give you the key to unlock the software so that you can make modifications for yourself. So you still have the freedoms. The situation it doesn't allow is that they give you the software and they don't give you the key. So they've defined the keys needed to be part of the source code. The complete corresponding source code now includes the keys necessary to actually make and run the binaries. One other thing that GPL v3 does about DRM is that they added a clause saying that GPL software is not an effective protection mechanism. And the reason for that is that there are laws in the USA and there are laws in the EU which say that if you develop an effective protection mechanism, then circumventing that is a crime under copyright law, or it's an offence under copyright law. And the purpose of this is that the content industry want to say that DVDs, because they're encrypted, they contain an effective protection mechanism. So if you circumvent the protection to access the content of the DVD, you're breaking copyright. So with the GPL v3, they're making a statement saying that It's not an effective protection mechanism, and it also goes into more detail and says that when you distribute GPL software, you authorize people to make use of the data created by programs under the GPL. So the goal is to so that law can't be used, so that people can't write software under the GPL and then distribute that and distribute that as a protection mechanism. So GPL software isn't commonly used in that situation, but we don't want GPL software to be complicit with that use of software. For patents, there are three things in GPLv3. The first is an explicit patent grant. In version 2, there was an implicit patent grant, because when you give somebody software and tell them they're free to do these four things, then it's implicit that you're not going to sue them if they actually do these four things. So the idea of an implicit patent grant, it works under US law, and it might work in other jurisdictions, but we're not too sure. It's never caused problems, but we don't know. So the implicit grant has been made explicit, so there's now a clause in the GPLv3 saying when you distribute this software, you distribute a license for modification and running. There's also a narrow retaliation clause. A retaliation clause is where your rights under the license can be terminated if you do a particular act. And the patent retaliation, some clauses are written so that if you attack one specific company with patents, then they will terminate your rights under the license of the software. So the idea is to prevent software patent litigation. And so there is a narrow clause in GPLv3, and there's also compatibility with a broader clause, because we're not really sure. There haven't been court cases yet for what happens with these patent retaliation clauses. We don't really know to what situations they will apply and when they will be effective. So there's a narrow one included, but also the broader ones, they're not necessarily a bad thing. So the FSF has included a clause saying that if you want to combine GPLv3 code with code that has a broader patent retaliation clause, a clause that activates in more situations, then that's okay. It's not going to cause incompatibility, at least. So the consultation process started on January 16th. Before the consultation process, the development was being done basically by Richard, and he had legal advice from Eben Moglen and I think some other lawyers in the Software Freedom Law Center. Then they published the draft on January 16th. So before January 16th, nobody else had access to the development of GPLv3. So it's not as if it was drafted by all the experts and now the users get to have a look at it. This is the entire process is being done out in the open. It's going to be about a year long. They've left the timetable flexible so that if things take longer, then it will go on for longer. A lot of people haven't really been looking at the GPLv3, and I think one of the reasons is that people might think that it's an idea for experts or for lawyers, and I don't think that's really the case. It's actually fairly understandable, and the main changes are in the tactics for ensuring the freedoms in spite of changes in technology. So what they're really looking for is clever ideas and ways of ensuring these freedoms. And the technique is the important thing, and then the legal, how to word these things legally can be worked out by lawyers at another point. So the first draft was released on January 16th, and the second draft is coming out at the end of June in a GPLv3 conference, which will be in Europe. It'll probably be in Spain. We're having these international conferences in as many continents as we can. There was one in Brazil there a week ago, and the goal is just it's a bit of a roadshow for the license to take the information as far as we can. So that'll be released at the end of June. And there's more information about it at fsfeurope.org/projects/GPLv3. The people here, there are very few experts on GPLv3, so this is something that we all have to raise a discussion and try to spread the information. And then, of course, if you want to support the work of FSF Europe, can join the fellowship at fsfb.org. So that's a very brief presentation on GPLv3. Coffee has now arrived. Are there any quick questions?
Would you recommend the... I thought a good page on the... that I read was linked off the Ipsil page, and I'm sure it's on one of these sites. Yeah. It's the comparison of...
Yeah, it's on Grokla. They have a big, long, ugly URL.
Yeah,
URL. That's on that URL, or it's on ifso.ie/project/gplv3.html, I think.